responding to Christmas the right way. That is the message, or the title of the message this morning, that I want to bring to us. Now, Christmas can bring a whole range of emotions to the surface for people, can't they? Anytime. For some, it brings a sense of joy and a sense of excitement as you contemplate being together with family, perhaps exchanging gifts, decorating the tree. I know that some people really get into that spirit of getting ready for Christmas and they put up their Christmas tree in November. You know, people that are really excited about that whole journey and getting ready for that Christmas time. For others, Christmas may bring some kind of pressure. Getting the house ready for visitors. Trying to budget for all the presents and making sure you buy them on time. Anybody done all their Christmas shopping yet?
No.
Not yet. Still got a little bit to go. I still got a bit to go as well. Making sure we buy them on time. Wanting to make sure that every person is happy on a Christmas day. Even if that means perhaps that you're not always happy. Because you want everyone else to be happy. You want to make sure everybody enjoys themselves. They can. All they have. Then there are those who struggle with Christmas. Those that struggle with the fact that perhaps loved ones are no longer with them. Struggle before because Christmas is a celebration that you can't really bear to bring yourself to celebrate. And you're just kind of quite happy perhaps when that time has gone. For others, Christmas may come as an opportunity to take your mind off the current situations going on in your life. Focus on family, friends and other things just for a moment, just for a period, before things start again. I don't know about you, but I believe over the years, certainly in my lifetime, Christmas has become more and more commercial. In recent times, it's become a time to buy, a time to decorate, a time to perhaps overindulge, a time where it has become more about presents, 5-course meals, how big your Christmas tree is, did we get what we want, and did Uncle Frank enjoy himself during the Christmas time? For many in the world, Christmas has become nothing more than a glorified holiday. The true meaning of Christmas and why it's celebrated is often being lost. You may be aware of recent statistics that have come out from the latest census in the UK that only 46.2% of people would identify themselves as Christians, down from 59% back in 2011. Now, there are a lot of conclusions you could probably draw from these statistics that our world changing, people who claim to have some kind of faith is decreasing. Erica recently told me in school that a large proportion of kids are identifying themselves as atheists, even if they don't really know what that term means. They don't know anything else, so that's how they identify themselves when it comes to things of faith. The country we live in is not predominantly Christian anymore. We've probably known that in some ways over the years, but statistically it would seem to suggest that is the case. People don't understand or perhaps believe Christmas has any meaning beyond a holiday or presents or family time. The heritage and the culture of the past is no longer there. And I guess it would be easy for us this morning to get discouraged. But here's the thing. We're now living in a world full of people who've never been churched, who've never gone to Sunday school, who've never heard the life-changing news of what Jesus' birth means and what his death and resurrection accomplished. Just because statistics might suggest that there's a decline, it in no way indicates there is a lack of hunger for truth. People need truth. They want truth. They want to hear things. The fact is that people aren't brought up in the same way as they were. They don't go to church. They don't hear about these stories. Everywhere here in school again, kids just don't know anything about Jesus anymore. They really don't. They might use his name as a swear word, but that's about as far as it goes. There is a harvest that is ripe and plentiful. And Jesus talks about that, doesn't he? He talks about a field being ripe unto harvest, ready for people to hear the good news of Jesus and to be saved. We should be encouraged, not discouraged. It's great news for us. God is not in decline. He's on the move. Excuse me. And we need to find fresh ways to communicate the truth to our world. These are exciting times for you and I to be living in. Do you feel like it's exciting times for you to be living in? Because it really is. But in order for us to play our part effectively, maybe we first need to think about how we respond to different things. How are we responding to the Christmas message? How do we continue to respond to the message of the gospel? When you think of Christmas, what do you think of? Is it a time of celebration? Or is it a time of just busyness and just fraught thinking and just like in some ways can't wait for it to be over? Is Jesus front and center of your celebration, or has he become kind of some kind of a side attraction? Does remembering the birth of Jesus fill you with joy and anticipation? Or have you become rather desensitized or apathetic to the story? What is your response to Christmas? How are we going to respond to Christmas, or how should we respond to Christmas in the right way? And this morning we're going to look at different responses from the Christmas story. And not every response is, in a sense, the same. Everyone may respond to things slightly differently, but I'm going to be going through four or five different ways that some of these characters responded this morning. And I wonder which one of these hits home for you today. Which one of these responses? Because I believe this morning God wants to wake us up again to the awe and wonder of the Christmas story. The awe and the wonder of what Christmas is all about. We're going to look at that through the responses, as I say, of the different characters to Jesus' birth. And then reimagine what this Christmas might look like for you this year. Because Christmas could be different for you. And that's a good thing. If it has that centre on Jesus and that anticipation and just something, a revelation just hits your heart again. So if you're making notes, the first thing, the first response we're going to look at this morning is joy. Joy. The dictionary describes joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. What is it that brings you joy this morning? Was it the first time that you held your son or daughter? Was it the time you said, I do, when you married your spouse? Is it when you got that promotion? Did that bring you joy? Was it moving into your first house? Now, as great as these things will have been for you, and others as well, there's many good things that can be characterised that could bring us joy. I don't think we can truly characterise these experiences of joy as joy. See, the dictionary does the word joy a bit of a disservice when we say it's a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Because joy in this context and the ones we've just mentioned is kind of fleeting and momentary. I'm hoping to move house soon. Hopefully before Christmas, and that will bring me some kind of happiness as I move in, but then there will be other stuff I need to do, and that moment of happiness can kind of be fleeting. But I think the joy that the Christmas story brings, and the joy of knowing Jesus, is that much different. You see, joy is not just a feeling of happiness that something great that has happened, that comes and goes. But true joy is a deep-rooted experience that is given by God and sticks around in our hearts and spirits, not just in the good times, but in the bad times as well. Challenging times. The Greek word for joy is chara, which is derived from the word charis, which means grace. joy is given by God to you as a result of his love for you. The response of joy is found early in the Christmas narrative. In fact, it's found before Jesus is even born. And it's when Mary, who's pregnant with Jesus, visits Elizabeth. And Luke 1, 39 to 45 says it this way. At the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill of the country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." So when Mary entered the home of Elizabeth and shared a greeting, something significant happened. Elizabeth captured a glimpse of what was to come with Jesus' birth. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John, who was in the womb at the time, jumped for joy. What was happening was more than a nice life event. And let's be honest, having babies are born is a lovely event, isn't it? Remember when my twins were born, remember when Hannah was born, it's a lovely event. But this was something more. Elizabeth knew something was going to happen that would change the course of history for Mary, for herself, and for the whole world. And filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy and expectation, she exclaimed in those verses again, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Have you ever noticed that "my Lord" kind of speaks in a prophetic utterance? She wouldn't have known who that baby was at the time. It was the Holy Spirit that infilled her, and then suddenly she uttered a prophetic statement that said, "My Lord." Can you understand how Elizabeth felt? How did you feel the first time that you encountered Jesus and you realised that your life would forever change? Because at that moment, I really believe that Elizabeth's life changed for her. That there was something significant that would change the way that she would live life and change everybody else too. And imagine when you came to Jesus, you were filled with joy that went beyond an earthly understanding or an earthly happiness, but something deep in your spirit went on that felt different to what things you achieve or see in the world around you. Do you feel the same joy that you felt on that day when you came to know Jesus? Do you feel that same joy now? Perhaps you don't feel that joy that you once did, or perhaps you feel like you lost it. But can I encourage you this morning? You haven't lost your joy. It's still there. It's a gift God has given you. It's just perhaps that we at times let our problems, let our busyness, or our moments of crisis cover over that sense of joy. It's time that you and I, maybe perhaps, and maybe we're, this is the one thing that you need to take away today, that you need to uncover that joy once again. The joy of the Christmas story, yes, but the joy of your salvation, the joy of knowing Christ at Christmas as well as every day of your life. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Is it joy? Is it joy that you need to rediscover? Is it joy at the response that you need this Christmas time? If it is, rediscover that joy by coming into God's presence and saying, "God, here I am. Let me see the joy of knowing you once again." Secondly, the second response that you might need or want to have this Christmas is the response that was found in the Christmas story, is wonder. Wonder. This, the wonder is what Mary experienced. From the moment the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce she was pregnant with the Saviour of the world, her life was changed and turned upside down. A young girl, pregnant, engaged but not married, having to potentially face the ridicule of society, the frowns from her family, the potential separation from Joseph. But she chose not to see the problems, but was captivated by the wonder of what Jesus' birth would bring because of the message that she received from the angel Gabriel and others. See, the visitation of angel Gabriel was the first thing. Can you imagine for 1 minute going about your daily tasks, and the next minute you're visited by an angel? This was not a normal thing, and rightly Mary was kind of afraid. But the message Gabriel brought was one of favour and delight at the miraculous conception and the birth that was to come of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. You can only imagine the wonder and amazement she must have felt as she contemplated these things. It was no ordinary message. Let's look at just a couple. We did actually read them right at the beginning of the morning. But let's just touch on it again, just very briefly, in Luke chapter 1. Get there in a minute. Verse 30, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you will find favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And then later on after, she's saying, but why me? I'm only a virgin. And the conversation she has, Mary responded, I'm the Lord's servant. In verse 38, may everything you've said about me come true. That wonder, the wonder of the moment. And then the second wonder moment that she had was at the visit of the shepherds after she'd given birth to Jesus. Not only did Mary experience that miraculous conception and birth, but shepherds appeared from nowhere. I always find this quite fascinating. There was no email or social media. There was just a choir of angels. And they came excited to share their story and share in the moment with Jesus, with Mary and Joseph, and then also the kings as well, who did the same a few months later. Now, shepherds were classed as the lowest of the low by society. They appeared, though, to welcome Jesus' birth. This wouldn't have gone unnoticed, and their story itself was amazing. What did Mary do as the shepherds told their story of how they'd heard about Jesus? Luke 2 verse 19 says, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The wonder of that moment that perhaps she couldn't even fully comprehend at that time. Now, the dictionary defines wonder in this way: a feeling of amazement and admiration caused by something beautiful, remarkable, or unfamiliar. Have you ever had one of those moments when you just marvel at what has happened in your life? 1 minute things seem normal, perhaps they might be tough, confusing, perhaps you feel like you'll never get what you hoped for, terrified you could be, then something happens to change everything, you're left feeling amazed and blessed. And how has this situation changed? As I was writing this message, I spent some time thinking about some of my wonder moments. The time when Erica agreed to marry me. The first time Erica told me she was pregnant with Hannah and then with the boys. The wonder moments. The wonder moment was watching and seeing the scan on the screen as they were being formed. The moments when God's taken me out of my comfort zones and I've had to rely on him for finances. When I was in Kosovo or needed to go part-time when I'm leading the church in Guildford. These moments of wonder when you go, God, you've provided for me in a time which was tough, or in a time where I was just in one place and everything was that, and then you just suddenly took me to another place. The wonder of the moment. But then it also got me thinking that actually, shouldn't wonder be an everyday occurrence? Because wonder is a chance for us to, or we should take it as a chance to see the wonder in our everyday lives. See, God has given us so much to be thankful for, hasn't he? There is wonder in the birth of Jesus as we contemplate what his birth means for us, as it kick-started the journey from the manger to the cross to the empty tomb. If it wasn't for that, where would we be? And there's a real wonder in that moment and in this story of how it changed everything for you and I. But then there's also wonder. Shouldn't there also be wonder in the everyday? The wonder of the fact that you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning. There's nothing that you do to make that happen. It's the wonder of the moment, the wonder that God has ordained that you've got another day to live on this earth. Another day to be thankful for. We have breath in our lungs. We have a roof over our heads. We have food on the table, clothes on our back, money to pay the bills. Even when circumstances suggest that things are impossible, God provides. Isn't that a wonder moment? It's a wonder moment for me when I think of these things. There is wonder in Jesus' birth and a Christmas story, definitely. But I tell you this morning, there's wonder in your life, your everyday life. Not just those key moments that you remember and see, but the moments of every day can be wonder moments. Is that what you need to grab hold of this morning? The wonder of that Christmas story. The wonder of what Jesus has done for you. Thirdly, worship. There was a response of worship during the Christmas narrative. The wise men had travelled for a long time to follow the star to where Jesus was born. Scripture tells us in Matthew 2:11 that Jesus no longer was a baby, but was instead a child. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. You don't often see that in the Christmas story or on cards. You see them giving gold, frankincense, and myrrh, giving gifts, but worship. The bowing, the songs, just that sense of adoration, that sense of respect and love. Their quest of the wise men to find the king of the Jews took a long time. It wouldn't be out of the possibility that it took them over a year. Now, we don't know exactly how old Jesus was, but we know he wasn't a baby anymore and he was a child, as the verse tells us. It would have taken them a good period of time. And these wise men came from the east. They were foreigners. They weren't Jews and they didn't know the customs or beliefs of the day. But their response was to seek Jesus out so they could worship him. They stopped off at Herod's palace in Matthew 2 verse 2 and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And in verse 11 it says again, "On coming to the house they saw the child with his mother Mary and they bowed down and they worshipped him." What's interesting about the wise men's story is this. The length of time of getting to Jesus didn't get in their way. Lack of knowledge of where Jesus was didn't stop them. They were just following the star, weren't they? The likely cultures and worship of others' gods didn't stop them searching for Jesus. Their response to Jesus' birth was one of commitment, of perseverance, and ultimately of their desire to worship him. And I think we can learn a lot from the wise men's example. How determined are you and I to worship Jesus? Not just at Christmas, but also day to day in our lives. Not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. Will we do whatever it took to worship Jesus? Yes, we're not separated geographically. We don't have to be in church to worship. But we do at times allow the things of life, our family, our jobs, our hobbies, to get in the way of our worship. Are we willing to drop it all to pursue that which matters most? It's a great challenge this Christmas time. It's a great challenge, though, any time, isn't it? Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." This Christmas, is it your response? Does your response need to be worship to the King of Kings? Does it mean that you have to put aside some of those usual things that you would do in order to make him central again? I don't know. That's a question that you have to answer yourself. But is it worship? The final response comes from the shepherds. And the word is witness. Witness. Have you ever been witness to something special that's happened? As sad as I know this is going to sound, I'm going to tell you anyway. I know exactly where I was when I witnessed the greatest football comeback of all time for my Liverpool side. The year was 2005. I lived in Coventry. The match was the Champions League final in Istanbul in Turkey. Liverpool were 3-0 down to AC Milan at half-time. The game was effectively over. In fact, I remember thinking to myself, I think I'm going to go home and drown my sorrows. But whether out of faith or just intrigued, I stayed and I witnessed Liverpool come back to draw 3-3, go into extra time, and then to win on penalties. At that moment, I want to clarify, at that moment, it was a fair few years before I met Erica, so just to clarify, to have my kids, it was one of the best moments of life. Seeing my team come back from the dead, seeing them win was a great moment. I was a witness to sporting greatness, and I couldn't wait to tell the doubters who told me that they texted me during the match saying that they were going to lose. Couldn't wait to tell them that we'd won. Friends and family, and tell them of what I'd witnessed. It's sad, I know, but here's the thing. Even greater than this achievement by Liverpool is the fourth response to the Christmas story, which is witness. The shepherd's story started with fear on the hills overlooking Bethlehem as angels appeared to them proclaiming Jesus' birth. But it finished with them experiencing the birth of the Saviour, and what was their response? Their response was to tell everyone about it, to witness. Luke 2, verse 15 to 18 says this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds could not help telling the local community all about what the angels had said and the baby they found. Could it be that this Christmas God wants your response to be that of witness? To share the hope that you found in Jesus. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, and always be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for the reason that the hope that for the hope that is in you. You know, we have great opportunities, and Matthew talks about us being commissioned to be witnesses throughout the world. Is God calling you today to say, actually, Steve, I need you to be a witness for me? That has got to be your response. You know this Christmas story to be true. I need you to respond. I don't know which one of those four that you need to respond to. Is it worship? Is it witness? Is it wonder? And is it joy? That's the word. I wish I'd had, like, you know, one that I could have used that was all W's. That would be amazing. But I didn't. I'm sure John would be able to tell me if there was however to actually explain that word with a W of joy. But the fact is it joy? Is it wonder? Is it witness or is it worship? What is God saying that he wants you to respond, how to respond to the Christmas story. Yes, we know the Christmas story well. But the wonder and the amazement of it and the sheer brilliance of it is something that is not just, oh, well, every Christmas we just talk about it. But it's the key, it's the cornerstone to the faith that we have in Jesus. If Jesus hadn't come then, we wouldn't be here now. Let's find the wonder and the amazement in it all. So with this, I finish. Christmas story is not just a nice nativity sketch that children do so parents can ooh and ah at their cuteness. The Christmas story is not fantasy, but it's the moment when hope pierced the darkness of the world. When a saviour came and invited the world into God's story. A story that started in the manger, culminated at the cross, and ultimately the empty grave. So many people were involved in the story and responded to Jesus' birth. We saw Elizabeth and baby John responded with joy. Mary responded with wonder. The wise men responded in worship. And the shepherds bore witness. But what we didn't mention was this. King Herod responded in fear, setting out a decree to kill every baby boy under the year of two. That wasn't the right response to Christmas, but it was still a response. While Simeon and Anna, who waited all their earthly life to see the Saviour, had the promise fulfilled. So many different responses to the Christmas story. Every one of us has a response to the Christmas story, but what will yours be? Will it be about the presents, food, decoration, or family, or will you make it something more? It doesn't matter whether you know Jesus or you don't, this year is an opportunity for all of us to respond in the right way. Do you need some joy? Do you need some wonder? Do you need to witness, or do you need to worship? In amongst the festivities, let's place Jesus at the centre of it all. Because I'd say this morning, anything else just really isn't Christmas at all. Let's pray together, shall we?